Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back, everybody, to Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual, your podcast that fulfills your needs for all things geek and nerdy.
I know things.
Amongst other things, ladies and some gentlemen.
Where's this going? We are inclusive.
Yeah, we are very inclusive.
We fill your fantasy holes.
Jeez. Wow. Oh, so we're going to segue off of that.
That's our new byline, by the way. We fill your fantasy holes.
I like that. Can you tell our card guy, see if you can add that to our art?
That's the new sticker. Yeah, it's gonna be, I'm telling you, that's the new catchphrase. So, what fantasy hole do you need filled? I can provide that for you.
Anime.
Jeez. Okay, oh man! So speaking of, what are we talking about now? So what we wanted to do today is going to be a special two-part episode. So for the first part, what we wanted to do is, you know, the kids are back in school, so that means sadly summer is over. So what we're going to do is do a quick overview of some of the movies that came out, the summer blockbusters that came out over the summer that, you know, kind of fell under the radar for us, but we still went to go see it and we wanted to recognize that they were there. So we're going to do a quick, lightning round review of some of the movies that flew under everybody's radar. And then the second part is actually inspired by some of the movies that we saw over the summer. It's going to be a theme. So what we're going to talk about are things that we didn't expect to enjoy. It's a very broad, general statement, but I think you're going to enjoy the conversation that we're going to have. So stick around. Thank you for tuning in. For like Harold said, we are here to fill your holes.
Fulfill
them.
Your fancy holes. So, that's classy.
Sorry, my bad. Can you just bleep that whole sentence? My bad. No. All right, so let's start off. What's one of the movies that kind of flew under the radar that we wanted to talk about first?
It's not so much that they flew under the radar for us. It's just that we kind of, some of the movies that we were discussing that we wanted to watch, and as much as possible want to watch movies together, sometimes we just don't have the luxury of doing that, and so we end up sometimes just missing out on, you know, the initial big hullabaloo certain films.
Yeah.
And for me, and I know I had previously, like last year and even earlier this year, we had always mentioned movies that we were looking forward to in the summer, and
yeah,
I mentioned the same movie, and literally the movie comes out and I say nothing about it. And the movie for me was Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Like I had mentioned to, you know, our audience before, I was a big Godzilla and big kaiju fan growing up. Loved watching those Saturday morning movies with guys in giant puppet outfits, you know, doing ridiculous stuff. And then all of a sudden Pee Wee Herman. Oh, that's a different one. But, I mean, literally that's the kind of, you know, entertainment that I was into. So watching the original, not the original, but the Godzilla movie that came out a few years ago, and enjoying that. And then, like Lewis said, Kong Skull Island came out, and that was very enjoyable. So the universe had been building to this next step, which was Godzilla, including a lot of the monsters that he had fought in the original Godzilla series. And so, you know, we'd finally get this generation, or the American generation's version of a Mothra, or a Ghidorah, a Rodan, and Godzilla himself.
Yeah.
So, finally got to see it, enjoyed the heck out of it, and actually was one of the first things that I was thinking was, I want to see more.
Yeah.
And as much as I loved the action sequences, I was like, that's great. Give me more. Like, you know how in Kong Skull Island, it was literally just Kong just destroying things for 2 hours straight? I wish it was that, with Godzilla and, you know, everybody else destroying cities for 2 hours straight.
Is it kind of like what was wrong with the Matthew Broderick one where they tried to put too much, like, human pathos in everything?
See, the thing that's great is that was, I think, the initial problem with the first Godzilla released a few years ago.
Yeah.
Was, and I think they've canned it, Godzilla only has 14 minutes of screen time in that original. And they were like, oh, they're treating it as their version of the original Jaws, where it's like, oh, the anticipation until you finally see Godzilla. The same thing, like, you know, anticipating to finally see the shark. And this one was the opposite. It's like the movie starts up, there's Godzilla. These are all the monsters that he's going to end up fighting. The human story is way more complicated than it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, there's something about Vera Farmiga that I don't know whether she's supposed to be good or evil in any movie that she plays.
I thought that was a disease.
No. You thought that was another one of the monsters? Like, oh, I don't remember that kaiju.
Oh, no. Vera Farmiga.
Sorry.
But that's my like, scared Japanese tourist voice.
She's the actress, and it's like every movie that she's not in, name The Conjuring or whatnot, you just never have any idea what side she's playing. And her character is, as usual, just confusing as hell. And then you have the guy from Friday Night Lights.
Right.
And then the girl from Stranger Things.
Millie Bobby Brown.
So right. Shows that I don't watch, so I had no interest in any of those guys until Miles Dyson came up. And then, that wasn't Miles Dyson. But it's just another guy. But and then the girl from, like I was telling Dennis, the girl from Crouching Tiger.
Oh, yes. She was in it. Gigi Yang.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's great to see her back onto international film screens as well. And just overall, very enjoyable. Kind of exactly what I was hoping for. And then with enough action and enough drama to leave me wanting more. Lou?
I totally agree. I think that was... So I'm not like Harold. I mean, I grew up in the Philippines, so of course I knew about Godzilla, but I wasn't like a huge fan of it. Ironically enough, it's my son who loves monsters. I think it was just one random afternoon that we started watching Pacific Rim, and he just fell in love with the whole concept of giant monsters. So we did see Godzilla, you know, this last version, as well as Kong Skull Island. So this one was a lot of fun because it's really just action figures going nuts.
Yeah.
And the actual story or the plot line, little to no sense, but you're not there for that. You're there for literal giant, you know, 1,000-foot monsters fighting each other, you know, destroying Brazil, I think it was.
Lots of different cities.
Yeah, lots of different cities, and with some kind of consequence, because it did show that, you know, at one point in the movie, like, these monsters, I think the number they gave was like 15 or 17 odd numbers of kaijus or whatever, the mutos, I think that's called in their universe, you know, basically rise up from under the ground.
They're called Titans.
Titans, okay, thank you. Rise up and wreck and ruin the whole Earth. But, you know, there's a little bit of actual, you know, casualty and some kind of weight to these monsters running around. So it was just a lot of fun. You're right. Like we saw it in the IMAX, not IMAX, whatever IMAX version is of AMC, and it was totally worth it. I think our ears and eyes were bleeding, but totally worth it.
And the movie is worth it just to see Godzilla go Super Saiyan at the very end.
Yes, that's right. Totally so forgot about
it. You're not going to watch the movie at all. Like the last half hour of that movie, besides Mothra turning into Mothra, which is a beautiful sequence,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of the movie is literally just like, hey, monsters, fight.
Yeah, yeah. So
it looks like Primal Rage.
Dude, yes. Actually, you're right.
Okay, I actually might have to watch this. I got to tell you, we've never really discussed kaijus and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Only two movies that I've seen. I can honestly tell you, I've never watched a Godzilla movie.
Oh, from beginning to end?
Except for the Matthew Broderick with the one. And I was, and ever since then, I was like, I have no idea why everybody's so into this Godzilla thing. I thought it was ridiculous. And I didn't even know what the word kaiju meant until I watched Pacific Rim.
Yeah, oh. That's kind of more where that terminology came
from. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it looks like something I definitely will have.
Yeah, I think it's out on Blu-ray now too. I don't think it's streaming anywhere yet. Yeah,
Blu-ray as of this episode.
Yeah, and they did. You know, let's talk about one last thing before we move on to the next movie. But they did tease the big showdown. It's going to be Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah, next year.
Next year already?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I'm hyped for that.
From what I've heard, it's done filming.
Wow.
So,
at least the human parts, because I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, I don't know if they got the monkeys giant enough yet, by the way. Sorry, gorillas. It's a giant gorilla.
Yeah. So, yeah, look at that. That should be fun, too. So, do we know if, like, the cast is coming back? Who cares? Because the cast of the first Godzilla movie didn't even come back. And
I want me my Matthew Broderick there. He needs a job.
He needs a comeback. Lion King didn't call him. So
Inspector Gadget 3 needs to come back.
Not working out for him. Election 2, not happening either.
Any chance?
I love that movie.
Election 2.
Inspector Gadget is one of your better than I thought it was?
Unfortunately not.
Inspector Gadget 2? Isn't that French Stewart? Oh yeah, you're right.
I can't remember who did. Outside, I
know. We're jumping in. So another movie that we saw that we haven't had a chance to kind of dive deep into was Men in Black International. That one, unfortunately, I have not seen, so I'm going to defer to Harold. So go ahead and let us know what you thought about the Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson vehicle.
I really was hoping it was going to be something good.
Oh.
Just because I am a huge Men in Black fan.
Yeah, love the series. Yeah, all three.
Even though the second one, it seemed like Tommy Lee Jones just kind of like phoned it in. Yeah. You know? Even then, I still thought it was a great movie. And so this one was a great reimagining. It was nice that you get to see Tessa Thompson,
Valkyrie from the Ragnarok movies.
Yeah, so Tessa Thompson there. And based on the commercials and the trailers, I really thought they had something going. But I don't know. I just couldn't connect to these characters. There was just something about it where I know it's supposed to be a summer blockbuster, but there was no, at least for me, there was no heart to it. Like with the original, with Will Smith's character and Tommy Lee Jones, they were able to form, even from the first one, the old guy and the young guy, mm-hmm. Training each other. And it turns out that Tommy Lee Jones's character is going to leave. So you really had this sense of, character development.
Right.
And so this one, it was cool to have Tessa Thompson's character there. But I don't know. I was going to say Will Smith's. the Australian guy. Chris Hemsworth character. Yeah, it just fell flat for me.
Okay.
So, great action, I thought. Graphics were great.
Mm-hmm.
It was nostalgic to see everything Men in Black once again being Men in Black.
The suits, the cars. Yeah. Yeah.
But unfortunately, it wasn't something that I wanted to go and talk about and say, hey, you got to watch this.
Okay.
I enjoyed some of it for what it was. For me, the storyline was very predictable. Like, I figured out
the twist that they were...
The twist 5 minutes into the movie. And it's not... It's... I don't know if you want to do spoilers.
No, go for it. I mean, go for it. Go for it.
No, it'll ruin it for everybody. No.
Okay.
Because nobody's watched it yet.
But her entry into the Men in Black organization, it just wasn't... I mean... You remember how Will Smith got into the Men in Black.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that scene is so memorable. And then you have Tessa Thompson's entry into it, and it was like, okay, that's it? Like, it was very boring. I mean, for the first 5 minutes of the movie have a good action sequence, and it's funny, just him see them using the neuralizer. And then there's some flashbacks. And for the most part, the fun thing about Men in Black, the first one, is Will Smith literally being like, I have no idea what I just got myself into.
Yeah.
And there's now I know that there's aliens exist. And this one, it's like, oh yeah, aliens exist. So I'm not going to be shocked by anything that I see. And it's just like, at least be somewhat mesmerized, fall into the fantasy, fall into the fantasy hole. And let me fill it for you. Sorry, guys. But it's like you have to, she wasn't so much engrossing herself into the, and it's funny to say this, but the universe, mm-hmm. in the Men in Black universe. And then, like Dennis said, Chris Hemsworth's performance didn't, for me, fall flat, but it felt literally like, if you hadn't watched Chris Hemsworth in any of the previous Avengers and the last Thor movie,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to understand that Chris Hemsworth can play a deadpan comedy character. Because, Thor 1 and Thor 2, he, does small clips and whatnot. This one is literally him just, trying to do jokes all the time.
Oh, really?
And whatnot. It's fine for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entertaining movie. It's a good family movie because there's no real stakes at much. Yeah, It's entertaining.
It's movie.
Like if you'd have to rate it in the, I know it's sad to put that into the original trilogy and whatnot, but you know, maybe third or fourth place.
Yeah, well, definitely. That's the thing for me. This number two has always been the weakest.
Yeah.
But would I rather watch number two and or this one? I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you.
Wow. So is this still in the same universe as the K and J characters? Yes. Okay.
So Q or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Leah Thompson?
No,
Emma Thompson.
If it was Leah Thompson, I would have like shivered.
Emma Thompson's character from Men in Black 3 makes a comeback.
Okay.
You know? And so that's how they're able to connect it. You know, but
there's paintings of K and J.
Okay.
You kind of like pass by it and say, oh, it's cool.
Okay. Yeah,
like so it's not them versus the original Edgar Bug. That's like, that's a kind of cool moment. Like, it's not, they never mention their names.
Nope.
It's literally just a painting of them fighting it.
Okay. All right. So, not too high on the recommendations list. So I'm guessing for me who hasn't seen it, I'm just going to wait till it's on HBO or Showtime, whatever.
It's been like a month or so.
It's going to be one of those that they're going to show every Saturday, like every 4 hours. So I guess I'll look forward to that in the background. One more movie before we move on. So one movie that just came out recently that we kind of talked about because of the actor in it. But
is it the comic book?
Yeah. What? The comic book of Hobbs and Shaw?
The comic book character of The Rock? Like, we didn't just dedicate two whole episodes.
Was that my old joke about Hobbs and...
Yes, Calvin Hobbs. Calvin and Hobbs.
Still relevant.
Oh, yeah. Proud of himself on that one. So, you know, the next movie let's talk about is Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, starring...
Do you know what the title is in the Spanish title?
No.
The Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
As I present those. Presentamos.
Oh, yeah, there you go. But Hobbs and Shaw is like.
That's it.
Oh, man. That's it, folks. We're done.
So, this movie just came out a few weeks ago, weekends ago. It was number one for one weekend, I think it was two weeks. Okay. Until it was unseated by that kid movie.
Good Boys, right.
So, yeah. I guess it was good enough that everybody here saw it, but not enough that could hold it down at the box office for that long. So, I personally enjoyed it a lot. The biggest reason why we went to go see it on opening night is because my son is a huge Fast and Furious fan. That's a lot of F's. So he wanted to see it, and you know, all about representation up in here, and he was very happy to see a brown man in The Rock become be the superhero that he's always meant to be. Not to mention he's also a wrestling fan, so we saw, you know, we watch wrestling day in and day out, so he sees that, or he saw the ads that Roman Reigns, WWE champion, was going to be in the movie. Spoilers ahead, not in the movie as much as he wanted because he was barely in it, but you know, nonetheless totally enjoyable. I feel like the franchise, if this is really part of the Fast and Furious universe, quote unquote, has taken another 180. I guess it's back to where it started, because you know, we talked about it last week how Fast and Furious was like, or you know, weeks ago, the Fast and Furious started off as like a dark, gritty Point Break with cars, and it became this fantastic thing about freaking flying cars building to building. Now it's, I mean, I'm harping on another review that I can't remember who wrote, but it's basically superheroes at this point. You know, they're the main bad guy here is Idris Elba's character, whom I could not understand, because between The Rock muscle mumbling through his lines and can't remember the other guy's name.
Jason Statham,
his accent and Idris Elba's English accent, I have no idea who anybody is. If the title didn't tell me,
who can't understand The Rock?
Yes. Oh, yeah. He like whatever, dude. He said Idris Elba's character's name a few times. I still couldn't get like what was his name.
Black Superman.
Thank you. Like, besides
we're not looking at any notes on the
top. No, again, not, so, Black Superman is the one that I didn't understand. So totally enjoyable. You know, it really was like a superhero movie, because it took all this, it took all the little tropes from the earlier Fast and Furious movies and just basically amped it up and added a literal guy with cybernetics in his body as the bad guy. So, it was good for what it was. Wouldn't necessarily say go out of your way to go see it now. Maybe if it's on Redbox or if it's on Netflix, definitely go check it out. But
I'd watch it again. I actually really it was stupid fun for me. You know,
we need those.
Admittedly, it ran a little long.
Okay,
it could have done one less, like, you know,
action sequence.
That one scene, like, after they reunited, they could have just gone straight to Hawaii or Samoa. They could have gone to Samoa already. But, you know, I guess character building and everything was there. But, dude, throughout the whole movie, you know, this is one of those movies where it was my summer vacation. It was I just had gotten back from my trip, and I got, you know, I had a rare moment where I did not have anybody with me.
Yeah.
So I decided to go to the movie theater with me. It was me and two other people there.
Uh-huh.
And this was me. I just kept on, like, dying. Every single moment there was something ridiculous, something, like, dumb. I just let it out. I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest movie ever. So yes, for me, at least, like, it was just stupid fun.
Okay.
And as you said, we need stupid fun.
We need mindless action sometimes.
And the fact that, you know, I think we mentioned this an episode or two ago, but the fact that The Rock can hold, you know, just hit with his arms, be able to hold the helicopter and, you know,
10, four tow trucks and a helicopter.
You know, the thing that you guys are forgetting is that every tow truck had Nas. And they sequentially had to hit the Nas in order for that.
So ridiculous.
See? How do you not enjoy that?
And then it did that Fast and Furious, like, zoom into the engine of, like, everything exploding at the same time. I was like, whoa!
Exactly. See, and you're enjoying yourself right now. I'm just thinking.
I'm sorry,
about
you're
it.
Right.
So, how could you not give that recommendation?
I know, dude. Like, anything. Like, the fact that Hobbs and Shaw had to fight with, like, you know, old weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, okay, this is. The fact that you could have a haka right before, everything about it was just stupid.
It's like Karate Kid 3 when Daniel starts doing the kata, and he's like, what is he doing? All those evil terrorists are like, what are these brown guys doing?
Yeah. What is Roman Reigns doing?
I know.
Is he preparing for a spear that I can't see coming to my... Anyways, that's just my hatred.
No, Superman punch and then a spear.
Quickly, before we go into that, I was just watching a YouTube video today that shows the first loss of major WWE superstars.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, you know, Hulk Hogan lost his first couple months in. The Undertaker even lost a few months in or whatever. And then it shows Roman Reigns, who debuted in 2012, did not lose his first match until 2015.
Wow.
A singles match.
Wow. So when he came in with a shield, it took him 3 years
to finally lose a match. So, I mean, congratulations, Roman, for beating leukemia and also for beating every superstar for 3 years. But in terms
of... Which is harder, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. For the movie itself, we've gone over my obsession with the Fast and Furious movies. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, obviously, with the people that I'd watched the first Fast and Furious movie with. So, you know, 20 years later, we're watching movies all over again. And when that sequence came on of Nas, 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 my one buddy turned to me and was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, I can't disagree with you, bro. Like, he's holding the whole chopper down with one arm and, like, pulling the chain with the other arm. It's like... Yeah, he's Superman. Like,
yeah,
and
he took that Captain America scene from Winter Soldier.
He stepped it up a notch.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though: you look at his arms and you're like, he can do that.
Yeah, and then you look at his quads and you're like, yeah, that leg is holding that down.
Yep.
Like, my nephew,
because he is like 4 stone, right?
Yes, he's 8 stone.
No, he's 8 stone, bro. The other guy's 3 stone. This is 8 stone.
This guy's
at least.
So my nephew had watched it before I did, and he, as much as I keep telling him, you know, no spoilers and whatnot, he was like, oh, there's a scene where he dresses up like Maui. And then I was watching it, and I was like, oh, you're not into... I was like, oh, you don't understand that sometimes people do their own cultural things because, you know, stuff. And then he was just like, oh. Yeah, so he wears a skirt. And I was like, oh. It's like, anyways, but I mean, for what it was, for as a departure, I loved, you know, their interactions from Fate of the Furious were great. So putting them into their own movie, pretty spectacular idea. Loved a lot of the side characters, except for, as usual, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Did not care for him at all.
You mentioned the part that could have been cut, the whole Kevin Hart part.
Oh, yeah, totally. There was no one.
How was he going to get to Samoa?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Literally every other movie passes through that.
Yeah, you know, how did Indiana Jones ever get to any other place? By red.
Red line.
That's exactly
red line over map.
Yeah. And then, so like Kevin Hart, useless as usual, but the one that really added to the storyline and who, from watching it, makes you want to see that movie is Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Like his, like, first of all, whoever did the great job of not spoiling the fact that he's a main character in this movie, great idea.
Yeah.
And kudos to that production.
Great marketing surprise.
Team.
Yeah.
Because when he came on the screen, I was like, what?
What movie am I watching?
And then, like, his, like, I thought it was just going to be that one scene, and literally he just keeps coming up in random things, and I'm like, yeah. And then, like, the tag in the movie at the very end is like, yeah, okay, now I want to see The Rock and Ryan Reynolds in a movie together, because this
I still need Jason Statham, though. It has to be Hobbs and Shaw and Ryan
Hobbs,
Reynolds.
Hobbs, Shaw, whatever he's getting.
Rian Reynaldo.
You know, you're going to keep using the Hobbs, Shaw thing, aren't you?
Okay, so moving on, Lewis.
That's all I can really think of other summer blockbusters that we kind of passed through for our, you know, Dennis's favorite reviews. So was there anything else that we saw that we haven't talked about?
Just real quick, I saw Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one just came out, too. So.
It just came out. It
also, I'm a big baby, so I can't watch that.
So, spoiler alert for everybody here.
It's scary.
They're stories.
It's scary. Don't watch it alone. But if you are of the people who hate movies that do the fake jump scare and then turn off all the volume so there's literally nothing but
God,
dark.
I hate that, dude.
And then, you know, you're just waiting for it. So you're literally just like, okay, let's go. Somebody jump out.
Yeah.
And then when your guard is finally down, that's when they jump out. Then you're going to hate this movie.
Yeah.
And Del Toro was one of the producers. So he obviously knows what he's doing in the horror theme. And like, if you'd ever read the books, I don't know if you guys were in America when those books came out.
I hate you. Yes.
Sorry. Dan, were you in America? Okay. But they used to, like, for us, at my school, they used to sell those.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a podcast. No. Yeah, Michigan, I don't know.
But like, for
I
us,
shook my head.
They used to sell the series at the book fairs.
Yes.
And so like every few years, the new one, or every year, the new ones would come out. So you'd be excited to see them. And then, you know, you come up and watch them. And, of course, one of the scariest stories is a story about a scarecrow come to life named Harold. So I was teased about that as a child. And when the movie came up and that character came up and one of the lines is eat, the word is another synonym for turd, Harold, the people next to me were like, that guy just told you to eat it. And I'm like, I don't watch this movie anymore. And then when he turns out like to be evil,
I'm gonna take,
like,
my Spider-Man away.
I am Sony.
Continuation.
But it's fun. I think it's a good movie for preteens and teenagers, and for adults who don't have heart conditions or
or are pregnant
or you know, just don't want to be sitting there. And for me, and the experience was worse because the two people that I watched the movie with, I've watched horror movies with one of them before, and I had to wear earplugs because I couldn't hear anymore after that movie, and her little sister, so a smaller version of her. So they're my surround sound.
Screaming into your ears.
And yeah.
Fun. Yeah, if that's how you describe the movie, I can't do it. Because I forget what I was watching, but
just cluck out.
Out. But like,
it's my thing now.
Just like filling fantasy holes. Because if it's anything like the It Chapter 2 trailer, not even the movie, that freaking trailer that they have where it's, I can't remember the actress's name, but she's sitting there with an older lady.
Oh, yeah.
And then the lady, of course, super creepy, disappears into the dark part of her hallway, and the trailer just does that. It's dead quiet, and it's just panning into there for like a good... It feels like forever, but it's probably only a few seconds. And then they do the ridiculous jump scare. If that whole movie is just that, I'm out. Not to mention
that. Jessica Chastain.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so if you like movies where you know the scare is coming,
uh-huh,
then you can watch it.
Okay.
But if you like movies where you don't know the scare is coming, you could still watch it. Because it's like, sometimes they fake you out. It is a fun thing because... if you don't know, like, Guillermo del Toro is also very political.
Yeah.
He's very against, like, the politics of our country today. So there is a hint of that kind of thing in the storyline, which you wouldn't expect.
Oh, from horror movie. Like, yeah.
And, but, like, everything else, the visuals are exceptional. A lot of it is, if you remember some things from the book, like, dead on.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So, sounds like you actually enjoyed it.
And so, I watched a lot of movies, so if you can tell, sorry, people.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and yet, no Lion King.
Still no Lion King. He's going to wait. He's going to wait this out.
I remember I'm watching it in 40X.
What are you going to do with other D's, dude? Anyway. So it sounds like we did enjoy a lot of things over the summer. Some may be not as much, but, you know, that just happens with when we come with expectations. So, you know, Harold came up with this great topic during our chat. Things that we came into not expecting the best out of, but we walked away thinking, wow, that was actually, well, I don't want to say not as bad, but it was actually, for me at least, in some cases, they were really excellent. So, you know, I thought it was a great topic. Harold, did you want to start us off with a great example of that? Because I'd love to see where you thought of about taking this.
I got a couple of examples. Actually, the first one I'll use is actually a personal story that happened to me. Obviously, it's personal. But when I was a child in the choir, they had promised us that we were going to go watch a movie that was coming out.
Oh, God. Where's the doll?
No, this is not. Don't point where the doll is.
Where did the choir
point
director?
Point where the choir director disappointed you. In my heart.
Because I wanted the big bells.
Yes.
And Harold got the smaller ones.
Talk about me being... I wanted the big bells, man. Those were for the guys, the men. But anyways, like... So when we were kids, ding. Yes, and a
dong. That was Harold's nickname.
I said dong. Oh, it's Jing. So when we were in the choir, and people who were in the choir can attest this as well, our choir director told us that a brand new movie is coming out. You guys were all going to go to City Walk to watch it because City Walk had just opened. And then he said, "We're going to watch The Adventures of," and everybody in the choir had assumed that we were all watching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure because we heard the word adventure and, you know, we're all kids who, you know, we thought that was going to be hilarious. So we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to watch that. And then when we got to the movie, when the movie started, it was not Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. The word adventure was in it, but it was The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Whoa, what?
Do you remember that movie?
No.
I don't even know that movie.
I thought you were going to go Adventures in Babysitting, which was bonkers.
Which was pretty good, too. Yeah. But if you've never seen The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, excellent film. Created by Terry Gilliam, who is also one of the Monty Python guys. So, obviously, he has Monty Python guys in it. So, Eric Idle's in it, off the top of my head. I think De Niro's in it. No, he's not. But Uma Thurman's in it. There is a bunch of random people, and it's literally a fairy tale come to life where it's like they're trying to tell this story. It's kind of like a mix of Time Bandits and Wizard of Oz, which is strange.
I don't think I could process that in my head.
Exactly. Right now, that's because it's a Terry Gilliam movie.
Yeah.
So it's like it's sci-fi, it's action, it's adventure.
Yeah.
It wasn't the movie I was expecting. But at the same time, I wasn't disappointed. I was disappointed in the fact that we weren't watching Bill and Ted's. And my mom could tell because, like, she was one of the chaperones. And she was like, okay, let's stay and let's go watch the movie. Yeah. But I was like, no, I'm fine with this. And if you've ever seen The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, you'll know that you'll understand how fun it is. It's a very, very fairy tale-esque and pretty enjoyable. And that same... vein of humor of Monty Python stuff. So I think you guys would enjoy it.
No, oh, cool. Is it on, I mean, how old is this movie then?
That was in 1988. So oh, the same wow. year that literally like, yeah, that's how they got us.
Nice, dude. Okay, so great topic. When this came up, I had to kind of process, how is it that I get into a position where I don't, my expectations are lowered? So this is like, you used an anecdote. I think all of my stories or all of my choices have a little bit of an anecdote because for the most part, like, my expectations are low when I'm either in a situation I'm not comfortable in or was not expecting or I was kind of forced into. So first story, I'm going to go with, I fell in love with Lord of the Rings because I did not know what to expect. I don't know if it's just growing up in the Philippines. Lord of the Rings was not a thing for me. I don't know if I was just in the wrong bookstores and the wrong libraries. Maybe my parents were just raising me in a very strict Catholic, you know, household where fantasy and that kind of stuff didn't exist. I love my sister. She was in middle school back then when those movies came out. She really wanted to see it. And I was the only one around. So I was like, fine, I'll take you, you little nerd. We go to the Burbank AMC. We walk. I get the seats. We sit down. I was like, oh, God, it's going to be so boring. An hour into it, and I was at the edge of my seat. I don't know what it is about that movie, but I had no expectations going into there. I had no preconceived notion of what Lord of the Rings was, to be perfectly honest. Like, it was actually a really big surprise for me that looking back.
There was a book?
Did you know there's a book about this? There might be more movies after the movies. If this does well, they might do a sequel. So, yeah, I was just like engrossed by the characters and like Gandalf, particularly when he died. And I was like, they killed the wizard? I know this is like 50-year-old spoilers, if you've even older. I think it's almost 100 years old. Like, you know, for people who've read the book, it's like, yeah, of course. But for me, like, again, it's totally new to me from my perspective. So it was not something I really wanted to see. But it went way beyond my expectations to become one of my favorite franchises ever. Go to my Twitter. My pinned tweet is like my top five movies ever. And Two Towers is up there because of how much I love the franchise. And I retroactively kind of caught up with the stuff. You know, my eldest loves the books now. And I peruse the books because books are hard. But I love movies.
So, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that as your topic. I have to tell you, it was not in my topic, but The moment you mentioned it, I was actually in the same situation as you. My wife is actually a huge, Tolkien fan. She
excuse you.
Tolkien. She was a Tolkien fan. I don't know how to pronounce it. And, you know, she told me, I'd heard the Lord of the Rings. I've heard what it was, but I'm one of those people, I never read it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I went with her, and I wouldn't say I was in the edge of my seat. I really enjoyed it. And I kept on going, okay, cool. And I just kept on building, oh man, this is such a great show. And then all of a sudden, end credits, I told my wife, what the hell?
Where are they going?
Where are they walking? Is the journey continuing? For 9 more hours? I was so angry that she did not warn me that this was 1 of 3. So it went from not interested to really interested to disappointed.
So, what a roller coaster, dude. What an adventure.
Okay, so my first one, I honestly, maybe it's because I didn't really watch that many movies when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
So I really don't have any like disappointments like Harold's, because maybe one movie out of like every 2 years.
You're like, yay!
Yeah, I got to watch a movie. It's moving pictures.
My eyes are happy.
Shut your mouth.
Why do we become Ralph Wiggum all of a sudden?
But just recently, you know, looking around, the most recent movie that really surprised me was Alita: Battle Angel.
Okay, okay.
You know, especially considering the controversy about, you know, changing the eyes and
yes.
everything.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that it looked too weird. And we all know that usually in Hollywood, when you mess with something, when you need to change anything, that usually means bad.
Yeah.
And when Alita: Battle Angel came out, I really didn't get a buzz. There was really nothing there. I didn't know where to turn. And it just so happened as I was flying to the Philippines, Philippine Airlines had a bunch of movies, and one of the movies that was showing was Alita: Battle Angel. And I was like, oh well, you know, let's take a watch. I was actually engrossed in it. Like, it was a cool concept. It was a cool premise. But again, interestingly enough, I got the Lord of the Ring because in the end, spoiler alert, it was like a to be continued type thing where it's like, oh, there's more of this.
There better be more of this. Give me more Spielberg. It was a Spielberg movie, right?
I believe
so. Or something like that, yeah.
And Cameron was one of the...
Oh, producers. James Cameron. I'm sorry, yeah.
But that's the thing, though. They... the show itself was really good, and I was engrossed in that movie, and I was really pleasantly surprised when I watched it. So, you know, aside from the fact that, again, just like Lord of the Rings, I didn't know there was something else afterwards, but now I actually am looking forward to another movie based on that, hopefully, at least.
Awesome, yeah. I mean, because unfortunately, Hollywood hasn't had, like, the great track record with anime production, so yeah, I think the expectations were kind of
and that's the all thing over the though, place is that I've never watched the actual anime,
okay,
so I can't compare,
yeah,
but you know, this is no like Dragon Ball, you know,
yeah.
So good for Alita: Battle Angel.
Yeah. My cousin was actually talking to me about it, and he was like, hey, remember watching that anime when we were younger? And I was like, I do, and he goes, yeah, if you watch the movie, there's like scenes that are very similar to it. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I've yet to check it out, but I'm going to check it out soon.
Yeah.
My next one is one of those... It ended up being the movie that, like I've mentioned before, where I traveled with it everywhere because I wanted my friends to see it. The name of the movie is called Grandma's Boy. mainly because if you look at the cast of Grandma's Boy, there's no names there. The biggest name is... Kevin Neal? Maybe Linda Cardellini? But this is before, you know.
This is before.
I mean, this is right after Freaks and Geeks. And maybe right before, or right after Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. So, and people would know her as only Vilma. And not as like a kind of hot nerd. And
Vilma.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's another Vilma. But when we had, my buddy was like, hey, we're going to rent this movie called Grandma's Boy. Do you want to watch it? And I was like, I don't know, man. And he's like, well, Adam Sandler's one of the writers. And I was like, he hasn't made a good movie in a while. He's like, let's just give it. Yeah. Well, and then it's to this day. It was like, okay, fine, then we'll give it a shot. And it ended up being, and still to this day, is still one of my favorite movies that no matter what, if it's showing, I'm watching it. And, you know, it's because it's like kind of the things that we are. He's like a kind of an older nerd.
Yeah.
And he tests video games, which...
is a dream.
No. It's funny, because at the time we watched the movie, my buddies were video game testers. And we were like, oh, is this what your job is like? They're like, no, it's nothing like this. They're like, they're glorifying video game testing. And I was like, can you really glorify video game testing?
Because it's in the title.
He's like, yeah, I would do a search for bugs. And I was like, that's what they're doing. He's like, yeah, but their games are fun. I was like, oh, I forgot you guys work for the Mouse House and you're working on the Miley Cyrus game. So also my friends who listen to this podcast, that I'm sorry that was your job, guys. Good job for finding all those bugs.
Yeah. You wanna be a guest on the podcast?
Yeah.
Let us know. Tell us about the Miley Cyrus games.
I'm curious. Did you use a body double?
Was it Hannah or Montana? I don't know. Is that true?
It's still, you know, Grandma's Boy, classic. And so glad that, you know, my buddy was able to change her mind and be like, hey, don't leave, man. Let's actually watch this thing. And, you know, right when it opened on the Galaga thing, I was like, why did we not watch this in theaters? So, yeah.
Lewis, what did you do now, dude?
Lose news. I'm under arrest.
Lord, that was like right there. I know. Okay, so Lewis, you have another one?
So I apologize because it sounds
because
like
you got arrested.
I'll be back in 10 to 30. Because when you brought up this topic, like, I was thinking, yes, movies, but also experiences.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about is one of my favorite food experiences is the Jollibee tuna pie. I don't know if you guys have tried this. I think he's running away.
Hold on.
So breaking news, there's a what sounds like a car chase right outside. We'll tell you what happens.
Next. Stay tuned. 11 o'clock news.
This is a live podcast. I know.
So, this came about because a year or so ago, we had some guests over staying at our house, and they had bought some Jollibee. They brought it over to the house. It's late night. I'm starving because, of course, I'm always hungry. Nothing's left at home, unfortunately, at that time. And the only thing left in the fridge is a package from Jollibee. And I was like, cool. I got triggered. I love Jollibee. Their chicken's great. Their spaghetti's awesome. Their whole menu's awesome. And, you know, the guest says, yeah, help yourself. It's a tuna pie. And in my head, that sounds disgusting. I don't know why, but when I think pie, I'm thinking sweet. When I'm thinking tuna, not so sweet. So I'm like, this cannot work. But again, it's 11:30 at night. I'm starving. I'm like, fine, I'll try it because I'm going to die. I would have been fine. I warm it up. I take a bite. It is surprisingly good. It is like, it's a weird savory, you know, Jollibee-ish taste. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but I think it's basic. It's probably because it's fried next to the chicken. So it's getting like by osmosis, it's gotten a little bit of that chicken flavor in the flaky crust. So it looks like your McDonald's apple pie, but it's filled with tuna. And it's a tuna salad with mayo and I think relish and some of that other stuff. But surprisingly well made, surprisingly good, to the point where the last few times that I've gone to Jollibee, I actually go out of my way to order it. So, you know, it's a bit of an acquired taste. I don't know if you guys tried it, or is it something even on your radar? Never tried it.
I didn't even know they had it.
Oh, dude. They have it at the one in Panorama City.
Yeah, they used to have it. I've had it before.
Okay.
It's just weird because, yeah, it's the whole flaky. And then you're like, tuna?
Total phrasing. But if you close your eyes and just take a bite, it's good.
It smells also funny, but it tastes good.
See, yours wasn't phrasing.
That's phrasing. So yeah, pleasantly surprised.
I love
tuna pie at Jollibee.
I love the fact that our topic was so vague that Lewis was able to do Jollibee and tuna pie. And to be honest with you, for those Filipinos out there, I really thought when Lewis said tuna pie, I thought he meant bread. For those people who don't know why that's funny, you're not Filipino. Look it up. Look it up. Okay, so next one is, I'm still in the movies because sure. That's what I thought what we were doing. Yeah. You know, as a proud dad of a little girl, one of my biggest joys is that I get to watch movies that I never thought I would watch.
Yeah.
You know, like those, like the candy corn, you know, like the all sweet and the mm-hmm, gooey mm-hmm. things. I never thought in my life I would watch it. And of course, a few years back, my daughter goes, Daddy, I want to watch Trolls. And I looked at her and I said, no, you don't. I remember Trolls. They were useless.
They were dumb toys.
But of course, I didn't say that. And my daughter really wanted me to go. So I took my daughter, you know, begrudgingly. I hate to tell you, Trolls is one of my favorite movies. Anna Kendrick, Justin Timberlake, amazing.
See, this is
what, absolutely agree.
I don't know. Well, I didn't watch it until it came out, but afterwards. Mm-hmm. But that combination, two of my favorite things.
But that's the thing, I didn't know. Like,
because you never knew about the cast.
I didn't know the cast. Okay. Like, I heard Trolls,
uh-huh.
And I heard singing.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, I'm out.
Automatically.
But that was the thing. And that was the thing. It's not just even the singing. It was clever. Like even Justin Timberlake as an actor, which I never really thought about as a voice actor, really good. Heartwarming story. It's about, you know, overcoming fears, mm-hmm. about all these things. Not only that, but you get to hear Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick sing together. And I remember going out there, and I kid you not, and this is going to be one of many things that we're talking about, I kind of teared up. Like, yeah. There were tears coming down my eyes, and my daughter goes, Daddy, are you okay? It's so beautiful.
Is it because you saw their true colors?
Dude, true colors killed me, dude.
You've seen the acoustic version, right, on YouTube?
Yes, I have seen. But the, oh my God, the helicopter is coming. No,
they found us, they found us. They found
Lewis. No, but yeah, no, especially for those people who've never watched it, the part where, you know, at the end, spoiler alert, where wow, I can't believe it, I'm forgetting her name, where the princess has finally given up, everything has gone, you know, has gone wrong, and so she's lost all her mm-hmm. colors, and then, you know, it's almost like, okay, what song can we put in?
Yeah.
Oh, True Colors. But the thing is, it's Justin Timberlake singing it in a different way that was so heartfelt. And there's a part where you know, where the line goes that, you know, I didn't realize that I love you, and she kind of Anna Kendrick's character kind of gives it a cute smile, and I'm like, oh, I'm melting. And so today, to this day, every single time Trolls is up, I'm pretty sure if you check my my recordings over there, I've a recording of Trolls there, because every so often I gotta pop it in.
Are you
phrasing?
Are you excited for the sequel?
Yes, I am. I hope I'm not going to be disappointed, but we're coughing together now. Yes. I know for a fact that I might be disappointed, but I just need more Kendrick and Justin Timberlake
in your life. Ironically, a few years later, I think you're going to have to drag your daughter. She's probably like, I don't want to see this, Dad. But you want this. You want this. You want these seats right now.
This is pitch perfect in Shrek 3. Daddy, I don't want to watch My Little Pony anymore.
I think that's what killed me, is that, like, I didn't want to watch it because, yeah, like, speaking of being fathers, like, my youngest, or my eldest, at the time, wanted to watch. He was a huge Shrek stan. So we watched all the Shrek movies. So when Shrek 3 came out and Justin Timberlake was one of the characters there, after that, it was garbage. Or first off, Shrek 3 is garbage. You know, anytime
Shrek 3 is okay, Shrek 4 is garbage. My next one is... it's a movie that I had no interest in watching at all. And this is just my thing. It's like, I don't want to watch these things. And then all of a sudden, they become my favorite thing. And that movie is The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
I love that movie.
I love that movie. And can I get my tablet back? Because it's still on that
movie. Oh, crap, yeah. It's somewhere
else. No, it's a smaller one. Yeah, it's a smaller one.
Phoebe was watching it, that's why. She's not been using it, so I'll have to ask her where she put it.
Just because I want to watch Burt Wonderstone. When it first came out, people just destroyed that movie in reviews. And I was like, I can't. I was like, everybody can't be right about this. I was like, it can't be a universal opinion that this is a trash movie. And the more I saw the trailers, I was like, maybe it is. And then one of our buddies was like, the movie's okay, but Jim Carrey is excellent. And I was like, okay. He knows that I'm a Jim Carrey fan, so, you know, that's the side that he's appealing to. Turns out, Jim Carrey, great in the movie. But everybody else is fantastic, especially Olivia Wilde. And that was the first time I really had, like, a big crush, like a huge crush on Olivia Wilde. And because, you know, she plays the fallen assistant that ends up, like, working for free for Jim Carrey and stuff. It's sad. But, like, Steve Carell, they were like, oh, this was supposed to be his one moment to hold a movie after 40-Year-Old Virgin, because it came out, like, a long time before that. And like, oh, he disappoints. And Burt Wonderstone's character is excellent. And I would watch any other sequels with Steve Carell playing Burt Wonderstone, because that movie is fantastic. If you ever had any interest or had ever been entertained by magic, that is a movie you need to watch.
So I'm on the other side of the fence. I've never seen it. Really? What is it about?
It's about, like, they're basically a parody of Siegfried and Roy.
Okay.
And then Jim Carrey. Uh-huh. Jim Carrey is a parody of Chris Angel. Okay. So imagine that. That's already a winner, dude.
Yes.
And then they get, they become obsolete.
He should be a marketer just for that.
Because they become obsolete because now everybody wants to be
extreme.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Extreme magic.
And they're still doing the old, like, fashion, like, tricks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, hey. So, like, at first, their audiences are huge. Uh-huh. Everyone's coming to it. At the very tail end of the show, there's barely anybody in the audience.
Okay.
And you can see that their relationship. And the other guy is played by Steve Buscemi.
Wow.
So it's okay, solid Steve cast. Carell and Steve Buscemi. And then their assistant is Olivia Wilde.
Antagonizing Jim Carrey.
And then Jim Carrey and playing the brain rapist. Because remember, Chris Angel's the mind freak.
Oh. Sorry. So brain rapist. Well, that is a natural progress.
It's just, that's exactly the whole story. And then it's like a redemption story. Damn, I just want to watch it now, dude.
You just want to wrap it up and just pop it in.
It's like when we did the Zohan thing, and we're like, we're going to watch Zohan after this.
Okay, so for me, I'm sorry, I keep going back to experiences and just stuff in general that I did not expect to like. So going back to things that I was, I love you guys, but forced into.
Podcasting.
So he still doesn't love it. So, is this white water after?
No, actually, that one I kind of looked into enjoying. I did not expect to enjoy snowboarding. Years ago, you guys were not on board, but I think you guys were retreat leaders. So back in our college days, we would do leadership for the Filipino club. And one of the activities you do before you become a leader for the semester is you go on a quote unquote retreat. Where, you know, retreat leaders send you to a place, you do a weekend worth of activities, and you do some team building. One of the most memorable ones I went to was memorable not because of the actual retreat, bless those people, but it was for the group activity at the end. We went to Big Bear, and the activity was to go snowboarding, and that was my first time ever going in the snow as what, I think I was 20 years old at the time. You know, we've talked about this already before. I'm an immigrant from the Philippines where the snow is not even, yeah, what's ice? What's even ice? What's cold water? So, you know, going up there, I'm like, why is a brown man up here? Just because our president at the time was, you know, a banana, let's call it what it is, you know. Yeah, so he really wanted to go snowboarding for his board. I enjoyed it. I was like, this is actually fun. So this is why people drive hours to go to Big Bear or however far it is to get to where the snow is. And actually, you know, strap yourself onto a piece of plywood and go downhill, risking life and your neck. But it was hella fun. You guys were there. You guys made it. Oh, no, that's right. That was the retreat. You weren't there. You were there.
I was there.
You were there?
But so, that was me and a friend of ours, because we couldn't afford snowboarding.
Did you go tubing?
No, we used
garbage bag?
Lunch trays.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Which, ironically, we ended up doing years later when it was just us as friends renting a cabin in Big Bear, riding tubes and
lunch trays. We had actual slides.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you kind of sat on it instead of riding it properly.
I mean, I was fine on the side. I can't talk about another person who was on the side here.
Check your Patreon page. That's another good story right there.
Good story right there. So something I did not expect to enjoy because, like I said, brown man growing up from the islands, going to the hills or mountains and actually enjoying snow. There you go.
My second to the last one, I think we're going to go one more after this, is a twofer. And it just so happened it happened the same night. I know. I remember coming back home from a practice.
I've experienced that before.
I remember coming back from a practice.
You gotta pay extra for that.
Seriously. And I got back home and we had a performance the very next day. It was a 9 o'clock call. Call on. Like, we have to be there by 9 o'clock to prepare for the performance. Call time. So I get, after the practice, I get to the house or my old apartment or my old house. And it was 11 o'clock at night. Thank God. And my mom, for some reason, is there. My mom never sleeps late.
Mm-hmm.
But around 10:30, 11 o'clock, my mom's there with her brothers and everything. And they're like, you have to watch this movie.
Oh. Like, I thought something was a problem.
I was like, Mom, no, I have to go to sleep. I have to. You have to watch this movie. And I watched... she goes, you have to watch this movie is called Sleepless in Seattle. Now, mind you, I've never watched this movie. Like, but I watched Sleepless in Seattle. I love that movie. One of my favorite movies.
You have talked about
that. One of my favorite movies there. And so now it's like, oh my God, this is so great. And it is now around 1 o'clock. right? And out of my voice, out of my mouth, my ear, I hear, "You want to watch the An Affair to Remember?"
I knew it.
And it was like, "No, I don't want to watch another movie. You have to watch this." So I sat down there and I bawled my eyes out. It was Cary Grant and I forget something Kerr, and I was there, tears again running down my eyes. I was like, "Oh God, this is so beautiful." Now, a funny thing about that story is afterwards is that because I didn't finish until like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I missed call time. And so I missed, and I had like an actual like lead part in it.
Oh jeez, dude!
And so I get there, and the show had already started. Like, my bad. The people are like, "Where were you?" I was watching Sleepless in Seattle and An Affair to Remember. My bad.
Tom Hanks, man. Tom Hanks is magical.
Okay, so one more go around here.
For me, real quick, honorable mentions: Drumline. Just because.
Drumline. Yes. Oh wow. Good call. Yeah. I did not want to like that, but no, I did.
I hated Nick Cannon coming into that, and I was like,
Nick Cannon.
And then I ended up loving Nick Cannon.
He's hilarious. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I love Nick Cannon. I love Nick.
But for me, it's a movie that I love so much that I made these guys watch it on one of their bachelor parties on a drive to Las Vegas. Just because I thought it was hilarious. The name of the movie is called Mean Girls.
Oh, so good.
I, obviously, because when the movie came out, we're in our 20s already. Because it comes out in 2004. So we're like, hey, I'm not going to watch this teen movie. I was like, it's 5 years past, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You and She's All That. And I figured, and American Pie, and I go, okay, that's it. I'm done with teenage movies. And then this movie comes out and I have no interest in watching it whatsoever. And then a friend of mine goes, oh yeah, it's written by Tina Fey, who I know you love on SNL. And I was like, oh yeah, and Tim Meadows is in it, so, and the janitor. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe if we're ever bored, we'll watch the movie. And it ended up, I was in San Jose with nothing to do with my friends. And then one of them was like, there's a Blockbuster down the street. Let's just walk to the block. Yeah, exactly. They're like, it's a Blockbuster. Let's go walk to it. And so we get down there. And first of all, my one friend, Doug, rents Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Good movie.
Another thing I didn't expect to like, but that. And then my other friend, she was like, let's watch Mean Girls. And I was like, no. She was like, come on, I think you'll like it. And I was like, I don't know, dude. And literally, though, right before the movie starts, she goes, I'm trying to remember, there's a movie where the main character gets hit by a bus. I can't remember what movie it is. And so she left it at that. And then if you watch Mean Girls, you remember Regina George gets hit by a bus. And I was like, damn it, that was this movie. She's like, you know, I'm better at things like this. But the whole time, I was enjoying the hell of the movie. Mm-hmm. You can hear Tina Fey's voice in all the lines. Lindsay Lohan was the best she had been since...
ever.
Well, Parent Trap was pretty good. Yeah. Freaky Friday, I like Freaky Friday. But, well, Lindsay Lohan was great. That was, you know, Regina George.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Rachel McAdams. And
McAdams?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That's her Canadian name.
She's McAdams, but she's hot, so she's McAdams. I made up this nickname 15 years ago, man.
But, that's a reach, but we'll take it.
No, literally, like, Mean Girls shows all the time. Literally, this morning, I woke up at 6:30, and I look at the thing, and I'm like, Mean Girls is showing, and The Princess Bride is showing, and I was like...
What channel? Hold on.
Is that the HBO?
What magical channel is this?
I know.
Yeah, it's like, which one do you decide, like, how do you want to spend your morning?
I'm not awake at 6:30.
No.
Because you guys are you... I'm getting ready for work. Well, I'm waking myself up. But it's like, which one do I watch? And I'm like, I love both of those movies almost equally. But to prepare myself for the workday, I need to watch Mean Girls.
That's dedication, Holmes.
Because, you know, work is Regina George. And I'm trying to beat the Mean Girls. So, yeah.
Nice, dude. For me, I think going off of your HBO tip, one of my surprise favorites has to be... I know I just talked about how the fact I'm not going to watch the sequel, but It Chapter One. It was... here's the thing that I don't think, unfortunately, this next generation of kids are going to really get a chance to enjoy is the fact that you leave the TV on and then whatever's playing is just what you watch.
Yeah.
Like, that, I feel that's how, like, all these movies that we know and love, that's how we watch it. Like, you just have USA on, like, when we were teenagers, and like, oh, cool movie. Well, I'll sit through the commercials or whatever. I did that one time with HBO. I think I was watching Game of Thrones repeat, and the next movie after that was It. And I was either in the kitchen or doing something else, and it just played, and I was like, oh, shoot, I got to change this because I'm a big baby. But, you know, going back into, you know, not that I'm a film snob, but the first few scenes, creepy as heck, super scary. I mean, super spoilers, too, for a, you know, 20-year-old movie and book series. But, you know, Georgie, the poor kid, gets snatched by Pennywise the clown. But it's just well shot. It's, like, really well made where it's engaging. And I, myself, I vaguely remember the original Tim Meadows.
Hey, man, if Tim Meadows played Pennywise, I watched a lot of that movie, too.
The 80s version of it. You know, I remember vague things about that. I never read the book. I do know. So I sat down and I actually kind of watched and sat through the whole movie. It's really enjoyable, very well acted. And, you know, it was in that weird window of like, these kid actors are actually pretty good. You know, I mean, Finn Wolfhard, he's the only one I can remember off the top of my head because he's also in one of my other favorite series, Stranger Things. He's in this movie, too. And it was just a pleasant surprise of, you know, how well these kids are able to convey emotion and not like the wooden, corny, you know, nothing against our 80s movies. But, you know, most of these kids, if they're not the main actors, if they're not Fred Savage, they can't act for a squad. So, you know, but thankfully this time around, maybe it's just these kids training earlier or just being natural at it. It was just a really well-made movie. And, you know, shoot, off the top of my head, I can't remember the new actor who's playing Pennywise. Super creepy to the point where I can't even.
Skarsgård.
Yes, one of the Skarsgård, one of the five Skarsgårds, I think.
Bill? Maybe Bill.
Yeah, they almost have as many Baldwins as they have Skarsgårds, yeah. I think. So, you know, this one, I couldn't tell which part was CGI, which part is actually him, because I've seen him in real life, or not real life, but I've seen him in interviews. He's like 6'6", creepy eyes. He looks like, yeah.
Like that?
Like that. Don't do that. So well made, really pleasant surprise. I wish, yeah, like I said, I wish a future generation, my kids get to have that opportunity of like just leaving the TV on and then whatever goes on and enjoy it. Because, you know, now in the day of everything streaming, you kind of have to cherry pick which one you want to watch. And if you don't enjoy it, you're kind of, you know, yeah, you're out of luck. So anyway, that's it.
My last one is, you know, I love anime. You guys know that. I love manga. I love anime. And, you know, but the one thing is that my taste in anime is actually... Now, that sounds bad. But my taste in anime is kind of weird because, you know, when people think about movies for anime, it's usually Miyazaki. Spirited Away and all those things. Mm-hmm. While I think it's beautiful, while I think it's interesting, I've never really been able to fully, like... appreciate it completely.
Okay.
Like I honestly don't see why people think it's such a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. You know, but you know, so when I hear, oh, best anime movie, best Japanese movie ever, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And it just happened a couple years ago. There was you know, it was supposed to be the best Japanese movie that was out, and the movie was called Your Name.
And I've heard about this book.
And
yeah.
So, you know, it just so happened that I was looking through some of my feeds, and there was a link to Your Name, a sub version of it, and so I clicked on it. This is the best anime movie I've ever seen, and no fighting, no nothing like that. It just is drama, and but the thing is, it's interesting drama. The idea is, and if you've never watched it, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it starts off with this boy and this girl, like teenagers in high school, and they start mysteriously switching bodies. And so the girl will go all the way to Tokyo, and the girl will all of a sudden be in Tokyo. Her spirit and her mind will be in a boy's body, while his mind is going to be in the girl's. And so it starts off with like, oh, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden there's time traveling, there's spirits and all these things. Everything just goes away. But even though there's all these ridiculous tropes, in the end, it really just is a love story. It's like the Japanese version of
Back to the Future.
No, what's your, one of your favorite? The Notebook. If you like The Notebook, you have to watch this movie.
Okay, and, I'm gonna go.
And I gotta tell you, I watched it, and I was like, my God, this is a great movie. And the one thing I hate about Japanese movies, and sorry, Japan, but they have this tendency, like especially like when they do like Naruto movies or stuff like that. The, you know me, I like the ending. Like, what happens afterwards?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Japanese, Japanese movies, for some reason, there's really not that. It's like, the movie ends and there's nothing else
further. Credits.
This movie is the same exact thing, but I was like, this is perfect. This is the way, this is the way it's supposed to end.
Awesome. You know?
So, if you've never watched it, Your Name, great movie.
Better than Fist of the North Star?
Yes.
Yes, this dude's head's exploding.
I know, but that's the thing. This is just pure emotion. This okay. is, you know, yeah, and, emotional. It's like, but that's the thing though. Is that, like, even though I did say time travel, even though body swapping and everything, it's like the common Japanese anime trope, but it's like just kind of not necessarily the important thing. It's actually just part of the movie, and in the end it really is the heart, so you gotta watch it.
Alright, I gotta check that out. Sounds really good. Okay. So great topic, guys, great talk, lots of fun stuff that I think, you know, we come into things not expecting the best, but we're pleasantly surprised. I think that's the best thing about fandom, is like we set standards or we set expectations, and we're surprised. I mean, that's the best part about things. I think that's why we like doing these podcasts, when we shoot out recommendations and give us some feedback. Let us know what stuff's out there is good for us to watch or experience, and let us know in the comments, or let us know in any of our social medias. So I'll start off with our Facebook. We are Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Just plug that in the search bar. Add us, like us. Every time
a podcast. Us.
What?
Validate us.
Please validate us.
Share.
Yes, also share if you like our podcast. you know, anytime our podcast goes live, we'll post there all the fun articles and pictures that we take, any activities that we participate in. It'll be on there too. So, yeah, check it out. Facebook.
And for me, as usual, I shill to fanboysoncasual.com. It's our website where we have our content and, of course, every single episode that we've ever done on our podcast.
And on both Instagram and Twitter at @2fanboys1casual.
All right. Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Signing off, this is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
This is Harold. You ever seen... So, remember the scary story called Big Toe or the Toe?
No, which one's that?
It's like, who ate my big toe?
You did. Oh,